Blog Talk Radio.
That was our original intro. I couldn't find it. it's not that I didn't like it anymore, although I did want to change things up a bit, but I couldn't find it. Well, I finally found it, and I want to thank the composer. He goes by the name of Adek, A-D-D-E-K. Look him up. And that was provided to us for free. Just dude trying to get his name out there, you know. So thank you for that. We thought we'd bring that back for tonight. Go old school. The Madden Voice returns. Season 5, episode 8. NFL week number 7. And as this season progresses, it gets better and better and better. A lot to talk about tonight. And, of course, I have my esteemed co-hosts who are here with me to talk some football, talk some Madden, and really we can talk about whatever we want to talk about because that's kind of what we do. You know, I can never get these intros down, you know. I mean, these intros are just, I don't know, man. I try to get these intros down, but we're going to try this one more time. We are bringing on EAFL Season 1 Super Bowl winner. You know, no matter how long the EAFL lasts, this guy will always be able to say, I won the first Super Bowl, you know. Train is with us. Man, I give up, man. We're going to get you another, you know, we're just going to have to get you another another intro, man. It's just not meant to be. Anyway, welcome to the show.
What's up,
I like it too, man, but, you know, I don't know, man. But welcome to the show. Good to have you back with us.
Appreciate it. I'm excited by another week of football.
Another week of football, man. You know, if you guys ain't enjoying football, then I don't know what to tell you because I know I'm getting every bit of it that I can get. And our other host, our other panel member, the man himself, the guy, and I say it every week, cause, you know, he earned it. You know, so when a guy earns to be called one of the best Madden players in the country, you don't just say it for a couple of weeks and then let it go. You say that stuff every week because he earned it, right? You know what I'm saying? He earned it, you know? Madden Nation Season 4 contestant and last year's EAVG finalist played for $25,000. We have K-Star. K-Star, welcome to the show.
What up, man? Appreciate it.
What's up, K-Star?
Yeah.
We are you guys ready or what?
Man, we ready, man. We are ready, man.
Yo, this might be the first. I got a lot to say tonight.
You know, this might be the first that all three of our teams actually won. This might be. I'd have to actually go back and check. But it might be, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody, Check that out, man. I ain't got time.
I looked it up while you started.
Look that up. All right, let's get started. Hey, week seven's in the books, and you know we're gonna start, especially since Train's look. Although I know Train will jump in here, but since he's looking that up, you know, we're gonna jump right over into the AFC. You know, we're gonna jump right into arguably the story of the week. I mean, I don't know if it really was, but if you watched all of the major sports channels, you know, it seemed like the leadoff story was Tim Tebow. You know, and just you know, and I have to tell this story, and I don't know if my boy Sal is out there listening. I sent him the invite, and Sal, if you're out there, you know, I'm going to talk about your partner. So if he's listening, tell him to hang up. But we're watching the game, okay? And there's about 5 minutes to go, and Miami is up 15-0, and this guy's a Miami fan. And I said, wow, I said, you know, looks like Miami's finally about to get away from that donut hole, you know. And he said, it's 5 minutes for them to screw it up. He's like, don't put it in the win column yet. You know, with our luck, you know, run down, they'll get a touchdown, you know, get the ball back, get another touchdown, go for two, go into overtime, and kick a field goal. And as if from his mouth to God's ear, that's exactly what happened. And Tim Tebow, like him or not, he gets another win under his belt. The guy won, you know, he won the game. K-Star, I mean, what is the, you know, I call it the mystique, you know, is you know, and a few weeks ago I did a segment called Legit or Shizit. What do you think of Tim Tebow? Is this guy the real deal?
You know, it's really early. It's too early to say, but I will say one thing. That mystique is very real. It's very serious. I was watching the game as well. I was with some buddies at a bar, you know, watching the 1 o'clock games, and I had a lot of attention on that game. One, because, you know, the whole Tim Tebow thing. The other reason, because he was my bye week replacement for Michael Vick. So I wasn't very happy with Tim Tebow for three quarters at all. You know, he was just running around, his head was cut off, and it was just, he was missing some open receivers. It was very ugly. But no one, I don't think anyone expected Tim Tebow to deliver a pretty, you know, a good-looking game, or I don't think anyone expects him to play that way, like a pro-style quarterback. You know, he's going to do his thing. He's going to run around, and he's going to bowl people over, and he's going to make plays, and the game is on the line. That team believes in him. You can just see a different energy from the Broncos. And it's, and the Tim Tebow haters, it's so, I'm sure they're sick of hearing it. But it's true. Like, people respond to this man. Like, it's just, when Tim Tebow scored the first touchdown and, you know, they got the onside kick, didn't you just assume the game was over? Like, the Broncos are going to go ahead and win the game just because, you know, Tim Tebow? Like, I mean, honestly, it's insane. Like, there's just something about this guy that no one will ever be able to point out and say this is why he's going to be good. But he's going to be able to get it done. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's always, and more, most importantly, that's all his teammates care about is getting wins anyway. You know, he doesn't care about stats. He's not going to be a high completion guy. He's not at all. He's not that guy. He's Tim Tebow, which is a whole new mold. And it's really interesting to watch. I'm very excited to see how his game progresses. And thankfully, Denver opened up the offense in the fourth quarter, because I felt like Tim Tebow, as bad as he played, they didn't really give him a chance to really do much besides dump offs and, you know, just random short stuff. So I'm excited to see how this plays out.
Well, I, you know, and I'll let Train jump in here in a second. I'll just say this. I am a huge, huge fan of Bill Parcells, okay? Although he only coached the Cowboys for 4 years and, you know, he's been around, you know, coached a lot of teams, I don't think the Cowboys can claim him. He won two Super Bowls with the Giants, of course, you know, had his famous time with the Patriots. And, you know, if you're going to go, you know, shop, going to cook the dinner, you should at least shop for some of the groceries, items, whatever. He, of course, he hates that quote. And, you know, some time with the Jets, he went down to Miami. So, you know, he's well-traveled. But he is arguably one of my favorite coaches for a lot of reasons. I just really like the guy. Now he's, working local to me, which is ESPN. But Bill Parcells said, don't anoint the guy just yet. Put away the anointing oils. You know, greatness in this league takes some time. I remember Vince Young coming into this league and, you know, when he finally did get the start, it was a very similar thing. His stats weren't great, but the guy was winning games. You know, it was the same kind of thing. It was like, he can't, his throws are a little off target. He's got some, he can make plays with his legs, but somehow or another, this guy won national championship. He comes into the NFL, and, he's a winner. He wins games. Now, granted, thus far, Tebow's attitude and Vince Young's attitude light years apart. Okay, I'll acknowledge that. But, now we see Vince Young is, second, third string quarterback on his team now. So I'm not so quick to just jump on the Tebow bandwagon. I'm really not. I do think while stats aren't important overall, I do think you can't ignore statistics. And you can't ignore the first 57 minutes I was watching the game. And it was pathetic. And, I can't forget that. He got the win. But, he was playing, the Dolphins. Okay? Now, I got to see a little bit more before the guy proves something to me. Let's see what happens next week when he plays Detroit. Okay? That's even though Detroit's on a slide, we're going to talk about Detroit. But to me, now that's a much better team to gauge if Tim Tebow still has something that can make them. I don't even say they got to win this game, but can they go in there and be competitive against this team and keep it close going into the fourth quarter? And can we see Tebow progress and continue to improve? When I see that, I might jump up on a bandwagon. But right now, I'm still not sold. Train, what do you think?
I really only agree with one thing, and that's the energy that he brings to the team. I mean, other than that, it's always a wait and see. You're good until people get tape on you, And once again, it was the Dolphins, and I mean, really, it's more or less how bad the Dolphins look. Dolphins look giving up, 15 points in a span of 3 minutes, versus how great Tim Tebow looked. Because even in the last few minutes, he still didn't look just all that great, but. All thing that matters is a W in the win column.
Right.
Yeah, I do like the energy that he brings to the team at quarterback. And so it's just a wait and see. And, yes, next week will be a great gauge of whether he's an NFL quarterback going up against the Detroit Lions.
Right. And for all of you out there listening, if you want to call in and share some comments, 347-838-9525. And make sure you press the 1. That'll show me that you're not just listening, that you actually want to comment and say something to us or to the audience out there listening. You could send us a tweet. We are on Twitter. Right now I'm there, and that would be The Madden Voice. Just simply go to The Madden Voice. And if you're on Facebook, look us up, The Madden Voice. Post a comment, like the page, share it with your friends, get the word around. The Madden Voice is here for the NFL season, talking NFL, talking some Madden, and, anything else that that comes to mind. Myself, Train, and, of course, K-Star here every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Might go to 8 o'clock, might give it a try, see how 8 o'clock does, see what you guys think about 8 o'clock. We'll let you know that in short order. But right now, every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, The Madden Voice, 347-838-9525. On the subject of Denver and Miami, Denver comes through and wins, and Miami loses, and Miami now sits at 0-6, I believe. Maybe 0-7, actually. Let me just double check that real quick. 0-6 for Miami. Train, 0-6 for Miami. Is it time for a new coach?
According to the way the NFL works, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know who's to blame for, prior to the season. I understand that there was a lockout in place, but that season knew they had an issue at quarterback. And there were a few guys out there that were available via trade or via free agency, and it didn't really look like they made a push for somebody. I think there was rumored a trade for Kyle Orton, who I think would have been a great fit, reuniting him with Brandon Marshall. giving you a quarterback that can get the ball out there and make good decisions with the ball. But, you know, now that Chet Henne's gone and they don't really have a second option, you know, they have somebody there, but, you know, he's not really all that great of a quarterback. And now the season is on the way downhill. So, yeah, it's time for a new coach.
K-Star, is it time?
Absolutely.
I guess it's unanimous. I love Tony Sperano. He was a long time Dallas assistant coach, offensive line and assistant head coach, offensive line coach, and worked for Bill Parcells, went over there, did some good things in Miami under Parcells. Parcells is gone, and so I wonder how much of it was Sperano, how much of it was Parcells. And at this point, 0-6, and you're not even really competitive, you know. And you're averaging 15 points a game, and you blow this game at home to a Denver team that's not very good. I don't know who else. I say that not knowing who else they could hire, or if there's someone from within that they can promote. So not knowing that, I'd say he's got to go. Right. So we all agree. No reason to even belabor that point. So, staying in the AFC for a while, K-Star, we've got the Jets and San Diego. And, again, another game that had a lot of controversy as far as people saying, you know, is this really a legitimate Jet win? Or did San Diego just kind of lose? Was this just Phillip Rivers not being the Phillip Rivers that everybody knows and kind of making mistakes that he's not accustomed to making? And, giving them that game. What was your take on that?
I've never been a believer in Phillip Rivers. Now, I know people are going to call me crazy, but his teams, with him leading as a quarterback, have consistently and have always, throughout his whole career, have underachieved. From the playoffs to struggling to win a very weak division every year. Sometimes he doesn't even win the division, you know, and he loses to Big Ben every time in the playoffs. He loses to Brady. You know, he owns the Colts. Got to get to him. But there's so many times where you just watch him play another big-name quarterback, and you think to yourself, you know, is he finally going to step up and make a play to win the game? You know, it always comes to my mind when I watch him play, because the teams always lose these close games against big-time opponents. It's just things always happen. Now, just won the game. Let's be honest. I mean, Phillip Rivers, obviously, he was anti-clutch in that two-minute sequence, which, by the way, was one of the worst two-minute sequences I've ever seen in my life, of a team looking completely underprepared and not knowing what to run. They just let time just float off the clock like it was nothing. They ran maybe two plays in the span of a minute. It was just got awful. And then, obviously, the fourth-down pass, nowhere to be found. I guess he just wanted to avoid throwing a third pick on the day. But, by the way, I had the Jets win this game. We're going to talk about that later. But the thing is, like, the Jets are a good team. People want to run off for dead, but they have a great pass defense. And eventually that run defense is going to come together. You know what? The Chargers struggle to run the ball for the most part. And, again, the Jets have been here before. They've been in much bigger games than this, you know, this magnitude. So I wasn't surprised to see the Jets win, and I wasn't surprised to see the Chargers fold like they usually do in these kind of big games and these kind of situations. I'm not a believer in Phillip Rivers. I've never about the notion that he's a top-five quarterback. He puts up nice pretty fast, don't get me wrong, but even if you look at his numbers this year, they are horrible. I mean, it's terrible this year. The 80 quarterback rating for, if you're considered an elite quarterback, pretty substandard. I believe he has more picks than – yeah, he officially has more interceptions than touchdowns thrown. And it's just I don't know. Like I said, I've never
– Well, let's be – I'm not a huge Phillip Rivers fan, but let's be fair. You know, Vincent Jackson's been in and out of the lineup. Antonio Gates has been in and out. And Antonio Gates has that plantar fasciitis thingy that you get on the bottom of your foot that kind of, like, doesn't go away. So even though he's back in the game, he's not healthy. So, I mean, he doesn't have – we talk about ratings and touchdowns versus interception. He doesn't have his full complement of receivers. Malcolm Floyd, really – I mean, he made a nice catch. He hasn't been playing all that well, and I know I got him on my fantasy team. So, you know, he hasn't had his normal troop of players, and that's definitely going to have an impact. But I think why Philip Rivers gets so much respect, I personally don't care for the guy. I think I don't like his attitude. I've never liked his attitude. I don't know why people just ignore his thuggish kind of bully attitude. I don't like the guy myself. But I think why he gets a pass is that AFC Championship game, we had the torn ACL, and he toughed it out, and he played. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure it was the AFC Championship game. I could be wrong. Right. Yeah. And he toughed it out, and he played, reasonably well, considering guy with a torn ACL. I mean, those are injuries that you're out for a year. And he played at quarterback. You know, it wasn't, a guy who gets the ball every night. And I think since then, he's worked under this mystique of greatness, because no one does that. You know, Tom Brady didn't do that. You know what I mean? He's, might be the greatest quarterback of all time by the time he gets done playing. And when he tore his ACL, he was done for the year. But here's Philip Rivers hobbling around, and the closest I've seen to that is maybe Big Ben, who's played on some bad wheels a few times. So I think that's why he gets a pass. But that said, I got to agree with you that he's not as good as people give him credit. But they're 4-2. So, normally San Diego right now is sitting at like 2-4, and we're wondering what's wrong. And so I do understand where he's coming from to say, yeah, okay, we lost, bad, shouldn't have lost, but Jesus, we're 4-2. Like when we're 2-4, you guys are wondering what's wrong. Now we're 4-2 and you're still wondering what's wrong. Give me a freaking break. So I can defend him on that point. Last comment, and I'll let Train jump in, is I'm still not sold on the Jets. I mean, it took Plaxico Burress to have the game of his new career, where he just got open. I mean, if you look at Plaxico's stats, something like 5 catches for 45 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, to me, when a guy can get that open, and he made one really nice play, and the other two, he was just open, that's San Diego. Like, why are you not covering this guy? Quentin Jammer and all you guys back there. You let this guy, he's 6'6 in the red zone. He's still Plaxico. What are you doing? So, that said, I'm still not sold on the Jets. Yeah, they're 4-3. They got a big win, and they needed this win. Or actually, are they 4-3? Help me out here. I got standings here. 4-3, right?
Yeah. 4-3.
Yeah, and they needed this win because they had been on a slide. But I'm still not sold on the Jets, and I'm still not sold on Mark Sanchez. Train, jump in here.
The only thing I can say about the Chargers is they always look great on paper. Yeah. And that's about it. Because it's the same.
Well, it's top five on offense and defense every year.
It's the same prediction every year. When people look at the AFC West, it's like, who's going to take the AFC West? San Diego Chargers. And it's never the San Diego Chargers. Not since the last run in the playoffs, which was, 2-3 years ago? I'm used to them imploding.
They do have the distinction of being the only team in NFL history to finish the season ranked number one in offense and defense and not go to the playoffs. So, to K-Star's point,
it shows me that he's not winning games at the end of the game.
Well, I can't argue that with you, and I do tend to think this was more of a San Diego kind of. Like you said, K-Star, that last drive, I don't know what the hell he was doing, man.
That was an all-time worst. That was really horrible.
It was painful. It was painful to watch when you're watching exactly what you said. He isn't supposed to be an elite quarterback.
He didn't know what he was doing out there. It's just come on.
Well, it looked like I was watching Tim Tebow for a second there. I'm like, okay, Tim Tebow at least has a little bit of an excuse. So, yeah, I got to agree with you on that one.
Just a rebuff on him playing on that ACL, it was a playoff game. He caught the injury like the week before. It wasn't at the beginning of the season. Had that injury happened at the beginning of the season, he would not play the whole season on a torn ACL. Yeah, it's still impressive. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not that much of a hitter, so I don't know. I wasn't as impressed as you guys were, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Standing and walking on a torn ACL is impressive. Okay.
Yeah.
So to play a professional football level against the Patriots in a conference championship game, yeah, I like I said, I'm not a fan of his, but that is some serious stuff right there. That is some serious stuff.
More like suicide, but hey.
Hey, but he did it. He did.
Yeah. All right. And they still lost.
Well, they did. All right. So let's one last AFC game, and maybe we'll jump back into NFC. But you know, I would be remiss since we're talking about quarterbacks if we didn't talk about Oakland. And first of all, let me speak on this one just for a second. When we talk about horrible performances. Okay, and we talk about Tebow for 57 minutes, and we talk about, Phillip Rivers, the last drive. We have to talk about Kyle Bowler, who is a veteran in this league. And that was just, I mean, for a team that is a competitive team that has a legitimate shot to make the playoffs, has a legitimate shot to win that division, you know, a team that, if I remember correctly, didn't lose a division game last year. And to see their number two quarterback look like garbage to the point where Hugh Jackson is forced. He didn't want to play Carson. I don't give a damn what he says on TV. Okay, they had no plans to play Carson Palmer on Sunday. None. And the fact that he's like, dude, this guy is not going to win this game for us. We are imploding. I have no choice. He had to do something. He's like, you know what? Why not? I don't, personally, I don't have an ounce of a problem with Carson Palmer's performance. The guy was sitting on his couch a week before, and he hadn't played competitive football in, you know, since last season. He admittedly only knew a portion of the playbook, which makes sense because he'd only been there a few days. So for all of these people out there that are saying, you know, giving Carson Palmer a hard time, and I think these people ain't played competitive sports. You don't just walk – I mean, it doesn't happen. You don't just walk in off the street and become a superstar. He hasn't practiced with the team. He's got to learn the playbook. He's got to get himself in shape. You know, I give the guy credit for even just getting out there. And, yeah, he threw three picks, and he threw a pick six, but he hadn't played the game. So, you know, I think – my opinion, and I'm going to let you guys jump in, K-Star next, and then Train. I think Carson Palmer will improve, and I think the Raiders are far from being done. But Kyle Bowler, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he would go to number three on the depth chart. and if somehow or another Jason Campbell comes back and can play, then I'd get rid of him. I'd say you got to go, and I would make Terrell Pryor my backup. Carson Palmer, my starter, and see what happens with Jason Campbell. But Bowler, got to go. All right, I'm done. I just had to get that off my chest. K-Star, what do you think?
I got to agree with you pretty much on all points. First of all, Kyle Bowler, that was embarrassingly bad. You know, again, Hugh Jackson had no intention of playing Carson Palmer. The fact that Bowler was so pathetically horrible that they had no choice but to go to Palmer at halftime is just – it's sickening. Like, I feel bad for Carson even having to go in the game. To be honest, you know, he just had no expectation of playing the game at all. And here he is after being traded just a few days earlier, forced into live NFL action, down, I think, 21-0, by the way, at that. And here, Carson, get in the driver's seat for us. So I'm just like you, I completely okay with Carson's performance and what he expects. Like, what were your expectations for a guy that didn't play, you know? So,
right.
I believe Carson will be fine. You know, they have a bye week. Thank God for them. So, they can get him acquainted with the offense, get the timing down. You know, he's working hard. I think the Raiders are far from dead as well. They lost Darren McFadden the first play. Hopefully, he's okay, by the way. I was Darren McFadden. I mean, I know the Raiders can't, but I really can't lose Darren McFadden. But they say he has a sprained foot. He's in a walking boot, though. Kind of scares me.
And they got a bye week too, so he might.
Yeah, they got
a
bye week again. Yeah, they got a bye week. Thank God, that's perfect time for them. They got to get some stuff together. But Kyle Bowler, that was just wow, that was pretty bad.
Train, anything?
I don't have anything additional. I mean, the only thing I was going to say was just taking a different perspective. True enough, Cowboys have played bad. I mean, but they did lose their workhorse at the beginning of the game. They lost the guy that you know, that normally get it done for them on offense. Because at least they could have at least did what Jacksonville did and just run the ball every play. But
yeah, Michael Bush had a decent game. I mean, you're right. He lost McFadden, but Michael Bush,
did.
You know.
He did, but McFadden's your home run hitter, you know.
No, I understand it. They had a running back they could use, but, you know, I don't know. I still don't. To me, it still doesn't excuse Bowler's horrendous.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right. Well, one more AFC game because this kind of ties into conversation we had last week. You know, I picked five games. And, you know, I had Baltimore and Jacksonville, Indy and New Orleans, Green Bay and Minnesota, St. Louis and Dallas, Pittsburgh and Arizona, all, you know, teams with one or no wins playing another team that's considered a competitive team. And we talked about what was the game that we thought would be, you know, the biggest chance that there would be an upset. And I did say, I was wrong as to which game, but I did say one of these five teams is going to win. It was not one that I thought, to be honest with you. But Jacksonville, not only did Jacksonville beat Baltimore, which is a bit of a surprise, but to me, what the bigger surprise was is they out-defensed them. They out-physical Baltimore. Them boys was hitting and playing. You know, if you didn't know which team was what, you would have had a hard time picking out which team was Baltimore. And I know historically, Jacksonville, over years, always has a decent defense, but, you know, hadn't really had much of a defense before this game. He'd been giving up over 20 points a game. And, you know, so that's what surprised me. The win, yeah, but them boys were for real. K-Star, I mean, help me out here. What did I miss?
Well, just like Joe Flacco in his passes. I mean, by the way, I believe I had this game. But anyway, I didn't have the game. I don't want to say I had the game. But of all other five, I did choose this one, mainly for my hate for Baltimore, so I can't give too much credit to myself. But the Jacksonville defense played great. I was kind of just – I mean, I loved every second of it. I was laughing, spending a good time myself laughing while watching the game, smiling, grinning, Facebook status up every 2 seconds about how Ravens suck. The Jaguars' defense came out, and they came out for blood. It was insane. They just were blitzing. They came free. They just popped Ray Rice in the mouth. They forced fumbles. They just forced bad passes. They were just – that Jaguars' defense won that game. It was amazing. Even with all the mistakes Jacksonville made on offense, which we expected them to make, the Ravens couldn't capitalize, and Joe Flacco is still Joe Flacco. I don't believe in him, nor will. He doesn't scare me. But, the Jaguars' defense is what won them the game, and the Steelers fans couldn't be happy about this.
Train. I mean, did the Ravens fall into the trap? You know, I talk about trap games, and again, I stole that from Bill Parcells. Did they walk into this game overconfident and fall into the trap, or, you know, is Jacksonville maybe, you know, they got the new quarterback in there now. He gets his first win. You know, could we see more good things from Jacksonville?
On the outside looking in, that's what it would seem like. But guys, remember, this is the second game that the Ravens have played in this manner against an AFC South team that they really should have beaten. They did the same thing against Tennessee. Played horrible offensively. Couldn't move the ball. Joe Flacco, once again, looked like he plays Tecmo Bowl before every game. That's not how quarterbacks should play. You can't just run around back there. You know, you need to get on that back. You need to get to that last step and release the ball. You got to get rid of it. You can't just keep holding these seats. he doesn't look like he's ready for the NFL. But in either case, yeah, they outside looking in, yeah, it looks like a trap game. But at the same time, it raises some questions for Baltimore. Like, you know, offensively, will they have enough to sustain a season? If not, they will fall out of playoff contention.
That's true. I mean, again, yeah, this is the second game in which they've done this. Like, Tennessee and Jacksonville, really? It blows my mind. I love it, and it kind of reaffirms my position on the AFC North and who the real, you know, champs are there. But I'm still kind of surprised by it, because it's like, how does this team 1 week do this and then another week just go in and lose to these teams and play as bad as they do? And
yeah,
it's kind of been in their DNA for a while. They've had these games throughout the years where you just kind of scratch your head and say, what the hell happened? There might be a fundamental flaw in that team. It might just be Joe Flacco. He's just really erratic and inconsistent. It's a whole nother level. It's insane.
I gave him a pass against Tennessee, but, you know, it's the second time. And this team's like 1-5 coming in. And, you know,
Well, I don't think Joe Flacco is a great quarterback, but I don't think he needs to be on that team. I think he's the right guy for what they do. And, you know, that is a team. I mean, when you see teams with that kind of defenses in general, I mean, it is not common that you're going to see superstar offensive-minded quarterbacks. You see more game managers. And that's what Flacco is. He's a game manager that every once in a while can make a play. And that's what they need. Now, moving forward, is that going to be enough? And you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I can tell you one thing that they need to do. They need to have somebody else do their pregame speech, because I watched them show Ray Lewis and these guys back there smiling. It's no longer – it's the same old same. You know, Ray Lewis, and he gets up there, and I will die for this, and I will, you know, I will kill for this, and, you know, I mean, you hear that every week, and it doesn't inspire you anymore. You don't get up for it. We might get up for it because we only hear it once in a blue, but these guys hear this Ray Lewis hype every week, and some of these guys have heard it every week for years. And to be honest with you, I mean, I got to give my Cowboys credit. They change up who gives the speech. And it's not always a starter. It might be someone who had a really good week in practice, or they change it up. It's not the same guy. But with the Ravens, it's always Ray Lewis in that middle doing his "I would die for this," you know, and "this is our house," and all, you know, and like, yeah, okay. And I watched. They showed about 10 seconds of it, and I watched one of the offensive linemen back there with his big smile on his face. He didn't look intense. He didn't look hungry. He didn't look ready to go and bite tree bark. He looked like, hey, you know, here's Ray again. Ray's funny. Yeah, yeah, I would die for this too, Ray. Can I have a sandwich, you know? He didn't look intense, you know? So I think they need to get somebody else in there to do this speech. That's just my opinion. But anyway, let me remind everybody, the Madden Voice is here, 347-838-9525, or you can send us a tweet. Maybe I should pull my Twitter back up, because I certainly shut it down to check the standings. But you can check us out on Twitter, which is the Madden Voice. And check out our Facebook page, Madden Voice, on Facebook. And by the way, you know, sometimes I get so caught up in the football talk, I forget. Do not forget that the EAFL is still out there. Guys are still balling and playing Madden. Go to EAFLmadden.com. There's a link right there. Join the EAFL. Join it like now, okay? Yeah. No. Not now. Right now, okay? All right. Yeah, we got a caller. So let's go to the phones. And let's bring in 336 area code, 336. Maybe if I unmute you, that would be better. All right, let's try it again.
North Carolina.
Nope. Yeah, but I'm not getting
Hello?
Let's see. Okay, here we go. Yeah, here we go. It wasn't letting me unmute you. 336, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Thank you. I want to admit that I'm a lifelong Steeler from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Big Marv.
we have our nemesis this Sunday. We have a tough time with New England. But I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on a different team. And this trend that seems to be going on, at least, you know, starting, where you have you talked about Bowler in Oakland earlier and him not being ready to play after having been with Oakland for a couple of years. You got the same thing in Indianapolis with Painter, who apparently isn't ready to play because they went and gave Kerry Collins a whole lot of money to come back when Peyton got injured. What's driving all of this? You know, where you got these quarterbacks on the roster and they're not prepared to play when you know that the quarterback position is prone to injury and you think they'd be the most ready position for the backup. I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Okay. Appreciate the question, Train. I'll start with you on that. What do you think?
Wow, man, that's a very good question. I'm raising eyebrows as I try to come up with an answer. And, you know, you don't get a chance to get much news unless you check into the local news on how people are doing in training camp. And a lot of times they don't tell you really the inside. But it really looks like bad preparation as an individual. You know, I wouldn't necessarily put the way they play on the coaching and the coaching staff. I refuse to believe that those coaches and coaching staff are not doing their job. It honestly looks like bad preparation on the individual. Kyle Bowler, yeah, he's been with the Raiders for two, maybe 3 years, but he's been in the league the same amount of years as Rex Grossman. He came in 2003. And from 2003 to 2011, where you not have obtained the knowledge and the skills you need to at least be a quarterback that can manage a game and not necessarily win a game, but at least manage a game, shows the lack of your individual preparation from the time you got into the NFL. So I think, I think it's an individual thing. I think it's a lack of preparation on that individual and not necessarily that team.
Okay, Star, any thoughts?
I think there's not that many good quarterbacks in the NFL these days. I mean, you look at how many guys, like Charlie Whitehurst, for instance, Cole McCoy, I think guys are just playing at such a low pedestrian, even below pedestrian level. And, you know, when these backups, they're getting their reps, like they're getting their time, they're getting the work, but a lot of them aren't producing. I'm just starting to think that there's a real drop-off from a starting quarterback in the league to backups, which, I mean, obviously we all know when starters can be better than the backup. However, a lot of these backups people don't have faith in, you know, whatsoever. So you just have to wonder, you know, are a lot of these backups just flawed? Are they just not good? Is it a fatal flaw within the team if a guy gets hurt, like the game with Peyton getting hurt? So you have to wonder.
Yeah, and it's funny that you asked this question, because just today in my office, you know, we were, me and a couple of guys took a few minutes to talk some football, and they know I'm very much into football, and I host the show, so, you know, I always get asked questions. And this came up as to what is the problem with, you know, the Colts was the main one where this question came up, is like, holy cow, what a drop-off when you have a Peyton Manning, you know, for 12 years, it doesn't miss a game, and then he's out, and now the Colts can't win a game. They bring in a veteran, nothing. They go to their backup who's been there for a little while, nothing. Like, wow. And I said, well, you know, my opinion is the problem here is pro football isn't fantasy football. You can't just – and it's not Madden, you know. You can't just get K-Star with the controller and his great stick skills, and he can, you know, manage Curtis Painter and still throw for 300 yards. These guys are given limited preparation time. I mean, how much time did Jim Sorgi have on the field as Peyton Manning's longtime backup? Not a lot. How much did Curtis Painter have? Even less. They get limited reps. When you have a Peyton Manning who commands a $100 million contract, how much money do you want to spend on a good backup? So you can only spend a certain amount of money. You can't lock $150 million and go out and get David Garrard or someone that might, well, he would now, but at one time he would have, that commands top dollars. So you have to be economical. You know, the Cowboys actually kind of figured this out a little bit by going to get John Kitna, who's on the downside of his career but still can play. but isn't looking to be a starter anymore. He knows he's had his day in the sun and he's done, and he's very happy being a backup and making about, you know, $2 million a year. But like K-Star said, there's not a lot of those out there. So it's going to be very difficult for teams with high-level, the Drew Breeses, the Tom Bradys, the Peyton Mannings, when you're paying that kind of money and these guys are getting 95% of the first team reps, it's very difficult to be able to do that, but then to have a backup that you can say, okay, this guy can manage a team. And when the Patriots did have that backup, what happened the next year? He gets a big fat contract and goes to Kansas City. Now, he hasn't done anything over there, but that's what happened. So, you know, it is indicative of the free agency and salary cap situation where the general managers and owners are forced to try to get the best starting quarterback that they can and to try to get, you know, a game manager or whoever they can afford second, even third string. And that's just, you know, unfortunately for these teams like Indianapolis and some of the other teams out there that have been struggling, that's kind of what you have.
Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, you're still on.
Okay, can I follow up on that? I agree with everything that you guys have said. I think Dallas did absolutely the right thing in bringing in Kitner because he's a veteran. You're not going to command a lot of money, and if you're forced to put him in, he's going to know what to do. I thank goodness for Charlie Batch. You know,
right, exactly.
Because he's been thrust
same,
in there.
Same
he knows
type,
what
same
to
type
do.
Of quarterback,
he can command
right.
the offense. You know, but on the flip side of that, you guys were discussing the Oakland game and Carson's you know, newness and ineffectiveness. What about the defense? You know, in Oakland in particular, I forget who to replace. I think it was Buffalo when Al Davis died the week Al Davis died, and the defense played and secured the game. I know McFadden went out. Carson had a bad throw that was returned for a touchdown, but it didn't seem to me like the defense for Oakland showed up. And I don't know if that's a result of them not trusting that the backup quarterbacks could get the job done, and maybe they were taking some chances or something. But I don't think Kansas City's offense is as good as it looked against the Oakland defense.
Well, can I?
Yeah,
I'll chime in. I don't think it's necessarily that Oakland's defense couldn't show up. I think it's a matter of fact that Oakland's offense put their defense in a tough situation to be competitive and actually to keep them in the game. When you have turnovers that are being interceptions that are being returned for touchdowns, and even interceptions that once they're picked off, now your defense is trying to defend a short field. Eventually, any team will start to run up the scoreboard if they're starting every time their offense is starting from inside in your territory every time they get on the field. So I wouldn't say necessarily that Oakland's defense failed, but their offense really did put them in very bad position, already being down points and at the same time putting them in bad positions on the field.
Okay.
And the only thing I'll add.
And that's what I mean. I really can't distinguish whether it was that many mistakes at the quarterback position that put the defense in a bind and they just couldn't overcome the mistakes they were made on offense. But, you know, when I watched the game, it just seemed like Kansas City, you know, from wherever they started, they still were getting guys open, and Castle was looking good, and you know, until the running back got hurt, he was running the ball very well. For KC,
the other thing to consider is, and we talk about this a lot here on the Madden Voice, is that it's a division game. These guys see each other two times a year, so you know they know each other well, and a scheme that Oakland might be able to do against, you know, another conference opponent that only sees them once every other year, you know, against even a Kansas City, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher because they know. We know each other pretty well. You guys, you know, you have that with Baltimore. You know, I mean, you
yeah.
know, you guys, you know, you those
yeah,
are some
won.
Of the best. Yeah, exactly. I mean, now, I and K-Star, you know, is another huge Steeler fan, and I think we can all agree that the next time Pittsburgh plays Baltimore, it ain't going to be like
Absolutely.
You know, but when you have that division familiarity, you just never know how it's going to play out. And I think that's also what we saw on Sunday between these two teams, right? You know, K-Star, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, even look at Minnesota and Green Bay, which we haven't touched on yet. I mean, division rivalries, you know, they can go either way. I mean, even if the team's not or very inferior compared to talent-wise the other team, the fact that they know each other so well could always, you know, go in any direction, and that's just how it works sometimes.
Yep. Okay, well, guys, I'm gonna end my comments, but I hope that when you get to talking about the NFC, that you do talk about the performance of DeMarco Murray. I've always liked him ever since he was at Oklahoma, and I really believe he's this is the start of a good career for him. I know it's one game, but I've always loved his athleticism, his speed, his toughness, and his just football savvy. So I think Dallas is going to have a winner with him, and they're going to have to make a choice with him and Felix in a couple of years. And I hope you guys will talk about that.
We certainly will. Coming up.
With the Dallas Cowboys host, yeah.
All right, sir. Well, hey, appreciate the call. Thank you.
And it's rare that I see anything good about Dallas since they beat us in the last Super Bowl we faced them in.
Yeah, well, that's been so long ago. Us true fans don't even go there anymore. I mean, you guys now have more appearances and more victories than Dallas, and we held on to those records for a long time, and we don't got either one of them anymore. So I'm sorry, we're tied.
Yeah.
I think we're tied in appearances with 8, but you guys have 6 wins and we have 5. So hey,
well,
we can't say anything these days, man. We really can't.
Well, I appreciate the show. I think it's good. It's my first listen in, my first call in, but I'm enjoying the discussion, guys.
All right.
Great.
We appreciate the support.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. So, Train, that's one of your people?
Yes. That's one of my people. I'm another person.
All right. All right. And, you know, let me take a minute here. I have to do this, Train. I have to, and I hope you don't mind. I went on your webpage today, man, and I saw the billboard picture, and I was so touched by it. And you know what I have to say is just very simply this. You know, it's October, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I have contributed to support the research to try to fight breast cancer. A little over 20 years ago, a first cousin of mine was taken at the age of 32, you know, with breast cancer. And I know Train recently lost someone that he loved very much, and I hope you don't mind me putting it out there. But, you know, I put it out there not to, you know, hurt anybody, but to just tell everybody a couple of things. Number one, if you have somebody in your life that you love, tell them to go get a mammogram. Early detection is the key, and it helps, okay? I don't care who they are. I don't care how old they are. You know, they say after 40, but you know what? Tell them to go get a mammogram, okay, period. You know, and secondly, if everybody just reaches into your pocket, $5, $10, you know, when you go out to the club, have one less drink. You know, you go to McDonald's 3 times a week, cut back and go once 1 week, okay? Take $5, $10 and give it to the American Cancer Society or give it to a fundraiser, and let's all just contribute and do what we can. If everyone just does a little bit, together we do a lot. And this cancer is just it's a hell of a disease, and we're all losing loved ones and have lost loved ones. And I'm sad to say we'll probably lose more. So, you know, in honor of everyone that we know and love, and right now, you know, the dedication goes to Train's lovely lady, and may she rest in peace. And let's everybody just step up and try to do a little bit of something, okay? All right. Train, you good?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
All right, man. I had to do it, brother, but I did that. But that's for you, man. Nothing but love, man. Nothing but love.
I appreciate it. I know our family does too. They're actually listening to
it. Okay. Well, I didn't know that, but I hope I didn't. I hope they take it the way I wanted it to be taken. You know, we all gotta come together. And even Cyrus agreed.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
That's Cyrus from the Warriors, man. He just wanted to say he agreed to him, so. All right, back to football. Back to football. Well, let's, you know, the last AFC game we really want to spend any time on, you know, Houston and Tennessee. Man, Houston laid it on them. right now, Houston's 4-3 and went into Tennessee and whooped up on them. I thought it'd be a better game, but it wasn't. And I'm going to go back to K-Star, the AFC guy. And, you know, is this now? I mean, you know, the Colts are out of it. Jacksonville had a nice win, but, you know, there's still a couple of games behind. Houston just whooped up on Tennessee. I mean, is this their division to lose?
I mean, it has to be. I think it was their division to lose since they went down at the beginning of the year. I mean, they're just, you know, they have a great run attack, and they have a pretty good defense this year, and that's been getting them places. You know, they do underachieve. Again, they have a pretty good run attack and a pretty good defense, so that always, you know, is a recipe for success in the NFL. Arian Foster's a man-child, you know. It is what it is. He's great. Last year was no fluke, and Chris Johnson, he's still trying to get a yard. No, it's just not happening for him. And I believe last week I said that the reason why I like Houston is because, you know, they're running games on track. We know who they are. Tennessee, Chris Johnson's still in a funk, and I'm a Tennessee fan. I'm pretty frustrated with how not only Chris Johnson performed, but at home to in a big, you know, division rival game, to lay an egg like that, that's pretty pathetic.
Train, you know, you're a big fantasy guy, follow fantasy football very closely. What, you know, if Chris Johnson is on your team, you know, I mean, what are you doing? Are you letting him go? Are you benching him? I mean, what do you do with Chris Johnson, who has pretty much not done anything this year thus far?
If you're in the keeper league, you just bench him. Take him for next season. And see what the offense does. See what happens when they actually have a full off season of practice and workout. But you know, you do have to selectively play him. Or you have, for me, I'd wait and see if he have a breakout game before I actually put him in the lineup, or possibly trade him to someone stupid enough to take him. But yeah, my only words about Tennessee and Houston is I was wrong. Tennessee's not ready. Houston goes to the playoffs.
You know, and there's, I mean, I didn't, you know, I haven't been, you know, I haven't been in front of a TV or a computer or anything all day, so I don't know how T.O.'s workouts went, but, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt on who might be a taker for T.O., if anybody. And one of the teams that's being floated is Tennessee, with Kenny Britt being gone. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately for T.O., there's not going to be a lot of takers. But I think they need to really give him, you know, I think this team with Kenny Britt was a different team. And, you know, I think that what people may have not remembered is T.O. had 72 catches, 1,000 yards, and I think, and I have to look it up, 14 touchdowns last year. And I could be wrong with the touchdowns, but I know it was 72 catches last year and over 1,000 yards. And the reason why it's such a quiet is because you didn't hear a peep out of him last year. You know, so, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, he's got the history with the 49ers and the Eagles and what have you, and, you know, maybe even a little bit with Dallas. But, you know, if you need a receiver, you know, pay the guy the veteran minimum, put it heavy with incentives, and say, hey, guy, we've got 8 games to go. We're looking for you to catch 4 or 5 passes a game. If you catch 40 passes for 600 yards, you know, we'll give you a bonus, you know. On the other hand, you know, the first peep out of you, and we're going to release you. So, you know, he knows he's on his last chance. He's not going to come in here in any team and try to create any problems. He knows. He clearly understands who he is today. He understands it, and he's Terrell Owens. He's not even T.O. anymore. He's Terrell Owens, and he just wants to find a home and get with a team that might be able to give him an opportunity and maybe play another year or two and then go off into the sunset. And I think a team like that should really give him a close look-see. And if his knee looks like, you know, everyone knows he's a great healer and he's a phenomenal workout, you know, as far as being in shape. So if his knee is in any kind of, you know, decent shape, hey, why not? Well, you know,
I think Carson Palmer would take him in Oakland.
I bet he would. Seriously?
They hooked up a lot last season.
I bet he would, you know. And there was even scuttlebutt that, you know, New England played it, you know, kind of, you know, innocent. But, you know, Bill Belichick and Al Davis when he was alive, but I'm sure the, you know, the legacy is still there. But Bill Belichick is known. I mean, he's got Chad. You took Chad, and Chad ain't done nothing. So why not? You know what I mean? I mean, I guess on the other hand, do you need him? Well, no, but do you wait until someone goes down and then wish you could have got him? If you can get him for a song? You know, if you can get him for a song and you have a roster spot, I don't know. For me, if Randy Moss wanted to come back and play, I'd be saying the same thing. Somebody need to pick these guys up. These guys can still contribute. So, all right, let's jump over to the NFC. And let's jump over. Let's start with Train, my NFC brother, and let's talk about your division competitors there. Let's talk about these Detroit Lions. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, this team was undefeated, and we were drooling over the Thanksgiving Day matchup between the Lions and the Packers and how huge of a game we were all saying, wow, that's going to be a hell of a game, you know. And since then, they've lost two in a row, and, you know, they just lost, you know, at home to Atlanta, who – hadn't necessarily been the most consistent team. So, Train, I mean, let's digress back a few weeks when we were asking the question, is Detroit real? And now let's ask it again. Was this just kind of a fluke, and now are we seeing the real Detroit? Or are they going to recover and, you know, they're still going to be a force to be reckoned with in your division?
I think we're seeing the real Detroit. I'm not saying Detroit is about to fall off. By no means, but now it's time to play the teams that are a lot more competitive than the teams that you played at the beginning of the season when you went on 5-0. And yes, I know Dallas is included in that win when they went 5-0. Chicago is included in that win, but we saw the writing on the wall from when they played Minnesota. Down 20, they come back and win against Dallas. Down 20, they come back and win. And you were seeing a team who you thought, you know, had a lot of firepower get down big and had to climb out in order to pull the games out, which means, okay, this team has a weakness. Eventually somebody's going to catch up to them. And the bad part about it is that they lost games at home. They lost games where they have one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL as far as fan noise. So now their road gets a lot tougher because they're about to go on the road. They're not going to have that home. They're not going to have that home field advantage, and teams are going to hit them in their weaknesses. They struggle with stopping the run. They struggle with stopping the run. Their offense gets off to a slow start. They don't have every down running back. I mean, their two top running backs are hurt right now. One's gone for the season, and we don't know what's the prognosis on Dallas' best. So with that said, Detroit is going to have some struggles moving forward. They're not done, but this is the tough part of the road. This is the rocky road. This is the road that says, are you a playoff team?
Any opposite opinion or anything, K-Star?
It changed, right? At the end of the day right now, it's kind of crunch time for Detroit. They did well, you know, winning, but every team, pretty much in NFL history, especially playoff teams, go through adversity at some point in the season. The key is, you know, overcoming that adversity. And we'll see if Detroit can do it. A lot of it hinges on Matt Stafford's health, as we all know. They say he's day-to-day, so I expect him to play on Sunday, but we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they have to overcome this. And, you know, losing two straight, I'm sure it hurts after losing five straight, but, you know, this is part of the NFL, is what happens. Things don't always go your way. So we'll see how they respond.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, okay? I couldn't say this before because it would sound like sour grapes because of the way that the Cowboys blew that game.
Uh-oh.
So I had to keep it to myself because I didn't want to be accused of being a homer more than I've already been accused of being a homer. But I have said this, and other than Calvin Johnson, who is the real deal, I am not a believer in Detroit. I think they have certainly had a nice run for last season. They won all their preseason games, five this season. But I think the run is over. I think this team may end up 8-8. And I think if Chicago continues to do, and I'm not saying this because Train is my friend. Train knows I will blast Chicago just as fast as I will applaud them. But if Chicago does what I think Chicago will continue to do, and we're going to talk about Chicago and Matt Forte, I think that the team that will push the Packers in that division is not going to be Detroit. It's going to be Chicago. And I think Detroit is going to continue to fall, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm not – well, the quarterback is hobbling now. I'm not convinced in their quarterback. Okay, Stafford. I'm not convinced in their defense. They play that wide nine and people can run on it. I'm not convinced with that defense. And now you've got a coach with a big mouth, and that never works. And you've got a defensive tackle who now is starting, instead of being an all-world player, he's starting to have a big mouth like Albert Haynesworth. And we all know Albert Haynesworth's history. And now Sue, who does have talent, but now it's just week after week, it's something with this guy. And it's going to be too much dissension. You had 1 week, the handshake and this coach and, you know, the big deal and he hit me and all of this. And the next week, Sue is allegedly applauding because Ryan got hurt and saying, get him out of here or whatever. And he says he didn't say it. And, you know, Too much. You guys, and I don't know, I'm probably talking to myself. I know ain't no one from Detroit listening, but I will tell you this. Same thing I said when I gave Michael Vick a hard time. Shut up. Jim Schwartz, shut your mouth. Dominic Sue, whatever the hell your name is, shut your mouth. You guys haven't won anything yet. And in case you haven't noticed, look up in your division. The Super Bowl champs are in your division, and they're undefeated. So until you win something, what are you talking about? I think that team, mark my words, they're 5-2 right now. I'm calling 8-8, and I know we got a long season, a lot of games to be played, but I think we're going to see this team tumble. I really, truly, in my heart, think we're going to – and don't take next week's game as the measuring stick against Denver. It's Denver's measuring stick against Detroit because Detroit has shown something. But that said, I think Detroit, their best days are in the past. Remember I said it. Come back one day here on the Madden Voice, and you guys are going to say, DMT, did you have a crystal ball? K-Star dropped off, but I think he's back. K-Star, any, I think you caught enough of my rant on Detroit. Any comments?
Yeah. It's kind of convenient, see, that as soon as they lose, you have something to say. You could have said this when they turned the line but won. Now they lost, you want to drop the hammer of God on them? Like, damn, man.
Yeah, but if I had said it after
they lost. This is awful convenient.
No, I didn't say it. I said after they lost twice. I didn't say it after the first loss.
I know.
I didn't say anything.
You were thinking it before. You didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. You know why? Because of the game against the Cowboys, and I know what you guys would have said. Yeah, okay, T, sour grapes. You know, you guys lost, and now you don't think that team's any good. What does that mean for the Cowboys? I didn't want to hear all that garbage. You know, who wants to hear that? Would you want to hear that? Did you want to hear that after losing to the Ravens? No, you don't want to hear that crap. You're too pissed off. So I said, you know what? I'm going to wait. And sure enough, and I told you why. It's not really so much the talent, although I'm not completely convinced with their quarterback. I think Calvin Johnson is the truth, okay? And I think Sue is the truth. But I'm seeing a lot of chemistry problems there, a lot of talking, and that's never a recipe, never. And if you guys, hey, you guys watch football, tell me where I'm wrong when you see guys that are talking all that crap on Sunday that their team's going to the playoffs and winning Super Bowls. I don't see it.
Well, being a Bears fan, hey, I have no problem with your rant. I think I actually enjoyed that. I don't predict 8-8, but I actually did enjoy that. That was a great speech, man.
Well, let's stay in your division and let's talk a little bit about the Packers and let's talk a little bit about Christian Ponder and you know, Train, I'm going to start with you again. I mean, the Packers were pushed a little bit here, division game. So what do we chalk this up to? A few questions for you to think about. One, is Ponder the real deal, number one? Number two, were the Packers pushed because it's a division game, or are there some kinks in their armor? They did win, but, you know, it was 33-27 to a team that was 1-5. So what do you think?
Ponder being a real deal, 60-40. I think he'll suffice in Minnesota. But – you know, you can't measure a quarterback on one game. I got to see a quarterback for a whole season. Division game, yes, that's the reason why I was played so close. I mean, it's no different than the other division games. They're either going to be blowouts or they're going to be real close games because the teams know each other so well.
Okay.
Now,
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by Ponder's, you know, scrambling ability and ability to throw on the run. He made some, you know, rookie bad decision-making on a few throws that cost the team. But you know what? They were still in the game. And he put up 31 points on the board against the Packers defense. I believe it was 31. And, you know, that's impressive in itself, especially in his first start. I mean, I understand, T, what you're saying. It's a division rivalry game. You know, these things are close. But not all division rivalry games start with a rookie quarterback playing at the first career start against the Super Bowl champs. So I got to give him credit. It's obviously way too early to ever say, is this guy the real deal or not? However, he did show flashes of potential and why they actually took him pretty high in the draft. You know, again, from what I saw, he had some nice accuracy and some pretty good running ability, especially throwing on the run. So, you know, we'll see ultimately what he does. But he definitely gave that team a spark offensively. So we shall see how he proceeds the rest of the season. I'm sure he's going to have a bunch of interceptions, you know, but that's with any rookie, including Cam.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
Even still, I didn't like their last drive in that game, though. Minnesota's last drive. To only be down 7, they didn't give Adrian Peterson not one shot with the ball.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember that.
And they had plenty of time to get that ball downfield. And
you
got to
get the ball at least once every three times, downs.
I was like, here's a chance to beat the Super Bowl champs. You know, division game, not really a trap game, it's just a division game. Ponder played well, escaped a lot of sacks to get the ball off. It is your last drive. And you don't give one handoff to Adrian Peterson to try to win it? And he was running well that game.
Oh, yeah, he ran extremely well. He had like 160 yards, 170. He was running phenomenally. I agree. I was wondering myself why they didn't give him a chance to, you know, at least bust one or... Or at least, you know, keep the defense off a little bit. I don't understand there's time was waning, but they still had enough time to put together a complete drive, methodical. So I'm not sure why they, you know, got away from the run either.
And I think Christian Ponder do well, but I wonder if Frazier will be able to keep his job. That's what I wonder early on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights, but you know, I agree with everything you guys said. It's early. And clearly, he's their guy. And McNabb, he's all done, as I've been saying for weeks. And, you know, I don't think we learned. I mean, I asked, did we learn anything about the Packers? No. Division game. And you're right, K-Star. I mean, you know, rookie quarterback. But, you know, most of those guys were on a team last year. And they know this team very well, the Packers. So, you know, I'm not surprised that it was a close game, and I don't think it means the Packers have slipped at all. I think the Packers are, you know, they're a lock for 13, 14 wins, if not running the table. But they're a lock. You know, if they end up with less than 13 wins, something went wrong. That team is just, whew. But anyway,
Chicago beat them.
It might happen. It might happen. You guys have the defense. You know, and if Cutler can show up and play you know, the good Cutler, it could happen. It could happen. And, you know, before we get to the Chicago and Matt Forte, let's talk about, you know, the other gentleman that called in and asked us to talk about DeMarco Murray and the Dallas Cowboys. And clearly he doesn't realize who I am. Let's talk about DeMarco Murray and the Dallas Cowboys. You had wanted to talk about it and you know, questions are being asked. Should he be the starter? And, you know, what are your thoughts on DeMarco Murray and the Cowboys?
Hands down, short answer, yes, he should be the starter. Long answer, I watched him. You know, I don't keep up with college ball a whole lot. So, you know, I hear about it from others on how people did in college. But I just watched him the previous week when y'all played New England and y'all played a close game. You know, they put Tashard Choice in to run the ball. It's like, dude, he got in the game like he was entitled to the running back position. They put DeMarco Murray in the game. He ran the ball as if I got to feed somebody at home. You know, I got to get this paper. I got to get this yard so I can get this paper so I can be successful in this game. He was hungry, and I saw it in the way he ran the ball. You know, I saw it in his attitude. And true enough, it was against St. Louis, but still, 253 yards. Sad to say, the guy that I played against in fantasy football had him, but 253 yards.
Did you say fantasy football?
Don't you
where
start.
I am 6-1 in both my league right now. 6-1 in both my leagues right now. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
as I was saying, you have to start this guy. I don't care when Felix Jones comes back and if he's healthy. He has to earn that job back. He has to take that job from that guy. That guy's ready. That guy's ready to play. And he's going to play hard. He's going to run hard every week. With Dallas, and I hope they keep him. And I hope they keep him in the starting lineup.
Okay. K-Star, anything to add?
Yes. Speaking of fantasy football, I made the move of the century, starting DeMarco Murray, and I'm so happy I did. Seriously, my running back's McFadden, and my second one. Isn't too good, so I'm just kind of messing the waiver wire after I traded LeGarrette Blount. But anyway, so I decided to go with DeMarco Murray. I actually cut Mark Ingram for him because I saw Mark Ingram ceiling. I'm like, you know what? Mark Ingram, I already know what he's going to do. 8-9 tops. Give DeMarco Murray a shot. Sure enough, this man just went wild. 250-some yards. That's impressive. Like, Felix Jones hasn't even had anywhere near of a game his whole professional career, and DeMarco Murray's first start was just, again, phenomenal. Felix Jones hasn't even scratched the surface of what DeMarco Murray did. So he's got to get more reps at the very least. He's going to be starting this Sunday against Philly on Sunday Night Football. So I'm excited to see him hopefully continue his success. He ran hard. He ran very well. He had pretty good vision. Like, he just obviously 253 yards. He played phenomenal. So
he's going to torch Philly.
We don't know that.
Philly runs the same wide nine defense as Detroit, and that defense is getting ran on all season long.
I understand that. But why would it stop now? Because last week everyone thought Washington was going to run the ball with Hightower and Terrain all over them. They stopped the run last week. I'm not saying they're going to be able to do it all year, but I'm sure they saw what DeMarco Murray did. I'm not saying DeMarco Murray won a good game, but 250 yards, that's once in a
I think Detroit, well, the, I mean, not Detroit, Dallas poses a tougher matchup for Philly as far as run-pass ratio. So I still think he's successful on the ground.
I agree he'll be successful, but I don't expect 200 yards again.
No, of course not, no.
Can I jump in here?
Go ahead,
Mr. Cowboy himself.
All right. Well, first of all, the obvious is 253 yards, tremendous performance, record. You know, Emmett had 237 was his high. Dorsett 206, ninth best rushing performance in NFL history. You cannot overemphasize how great of a day that was, regardless of who you're playing against. And it was just an incredible performance. And then, you know, you know, it was, you know, once in a lifetime. Now, that said, I will go back to what we said about Christian Ponder and a couple of other players. We said we need to see a little bit. I need to see a little bit more before I take out my first-round draft pick and make him the backup. Felix Jones shared a backfield with Darren McFadden, and Felix Jones has been our home run hitter now for a couple of years. Now, granted, he has not had a game. I mean, but who has? Adrian Peterson has not had a game like that, you know, 253 yards. You know, Matt Forte has not had a 253-yard game. So
did you say Adrian Peterson?
I did.
Adrian holds a rushing record for most in a game.
Yeah.
Oh, he does have the record?
Yeah, he holds.
I apologize. I apologize. I forgot AP had that. But my point is, how many backs rush for 253 yards in a game, and does that mean that they're not great backs because they don't hit those kind of numbers? What we need is consistency week in and week out. And so my jury is out on DeMarco Murray. There's a reason why he wasn't even the starter for this game. Tashard Choice started this game. Now, I am not saying Tashard Choice should be starting. DeMarco Murray, since Felix is out, should definitely get the start on Sunday. And let's see what he does against Philly. But I am not ready to say this guy has earned the start yet. I'm just not. We were playing the 32nd ranked defense, run defense in the league, and we had some things going on in our offensive line that we had not had all year. And we had a fullback. So I find it hard to compare a situation where Montre Holland comes in and solidifies our left guard position that was in flux. Fiametta comes in at fullback, so for the first time all year, we have a fullback. Montre Holland's an experienced offensive lineman, so he's re-signed and he comes back. And so it's not exactly an apples-for-apples comparison to just say, well, Felix didn't do that. Well, Felix didn't have the opportunity to do what DeMarco Murray did Sunday. So I'd want to see, you know, if he can go out against Philly and rush for 130, 140 yards, and we win, and he's a workhorse back, I'd say he's making another claim. I want to remind Cowboy Nation that Julius Jones was a starter a few years ago, and Marion Barber was his backup. And Marion Barber came in hungry and ran the ball hard and you know, was hard to bring down and got you know, the short yardage touchdowns and broke tackles and did all the things that Felix Jones wouldn't or couldn't do. And Julius Jones wouldn't do. And Julius Jones ended up getting traded, and Marion Barber became the starter. Okay? 2 years later, Marion Barber's playing for Chicago as a backup. All right? I've watched the Cowboys running backs come and go since Emmitt Smith. So I'm not just ready to say our first-round back draft pick should become a backup. I'm just not ready to say that. I want to see more from DeMarco Murray. I want to see more from Philip Tanner. I have no interest in seeing Tashard Choice. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. He's great in the locker room. He's a leader on that team. But unfortunately, you fumbled two times in two games, and these guys have come in and made very good of their opportunities. So our three backs are Jones, Murray, Tanner, in that order. And but I think Tanner is going to be pushing Felix. If he can keep running like this, he'll definitely push him. And by, you know, in a few weeks, I might come back with a different opinion after I see a little bit more from Murray. I got to see more from the guy, though, before I can say, stick him in there.
One thing I wanted to say real quick, I kind of agree with you a little bit on that. Let's not forget that Jerome Harrison of the Browns a couple of years ago at the very end of the season had like a 240-yard performance. Let's not crown him, so to say. However, everyone should be excited about it if you're a Cowboys fan. I mean, we'll see what the kid's got. Again, consistency is key, as T, you know, alluded to earlier. But if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm still pretty excited for the prospects of his learning ability, regardless.
Well, I'd be excited if he shows consistency. I'm excited for what he did on that one game, because it wasn't expected. But I'm not, you know, Bill Parcells, I'm not anointing him the next Emmitt Smith just yet. He's got to show some durability. Remember, this is a guy who blew his knee out in college. You know, he used to run a 4.240 before that. He ain't running 4.240s now. He's got a little bit of speed, but I saw him, and he ain't running 4.2. You know, he's running about a 4.4 out there now, but he's not built to run that anymore. He knew he needed to get stronger for the NFL, so he put on some weight, and he's more of an every down back now, and so I give him that. But let's just see how his durability is. Let's see if he can go out. Like Train said, Eagles do not have a great run D. Their linebackers are not very good. So, you know, if Dallas runs a good scheme, he should have opportunities to be successful on Sunday. And if he is, well, you know, this is his audition. You want the job? You got, you know, Felix has a high ankle sprain. Those things could be up to 6 weeks, you know. Plus, he had his shoulder was hurt from week one. So Felix is banged up right now. So you've got a few weeks to take that job. So 250 was great. Congratulations. Put you in the record books. Give you the game ball. You know, kumbaya. But now let's see what you do next week, because that to me is what AP does do. He brings it every week, and I want to see this guy do it before I jump on his bandwagon. And just on a side note, Cowboys won 34-7. I think they did what a good team should do to a bad team. Simple as that. I think they can now be called a good team, because they didn't win this game 10-6 or 21-17. They beat up on a team they should have beat up on. And the reason that I say that I call them a good team now is that last drive that St. Louis had the ball inside the 5-yard line and Dallas held them out of the end zone. Up 34-7, time running out, and St. Louis wanted to get that last, just get that little touchdown in, have kind of a moral victory, and the Cowboys would not let them in the end zone. And to me, that's what I'm looking for as a fan right there. That's showing me you guys are not ready to play 60 minutes of football and not 58 or 59 minutes. So, all right, enough on the Cowboys. Let's go to the Bears now. Let's go to the Bears and let's give Train the floor. Now, the Bears beat what's kind of considered a decent Tampa Bay team. The story of that game is Matt Forte. Now I'm hearing people calling Matt Forte the second best back in the NFL, next to Adrian Peterson. Train, talk to us about Chicago with a nice win over there in London, and your boy Matt Forte lighting it up once again.
Man, first of all, Jerry Angelo, pay the man already. Good grief, what else you got to do to get paid? Man, that's I true. Knew this guy
wait,
was going
to have
a good season.
Wait. Did you say get paid? Hold on.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, got the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. Take the dollar, can a damn soul stop it?
Alright, John, throw that. I put that on just for you because I knew you were going to say that. Go ahead.
Hey, man. The guy is running. He's playing great. He's having a great season. Arguably playing, you know, like he's the top back in the league. And I'm loving it. I'm finally seeing us having a running game. A running back is going out getting 100 yards almost every week, man. It's beautiful. Yet, Mike Martz still hasn't figured out that we're a running team, but that's okay. he'll get the memo. We go on a bye week. But that was supposedly a good Buccaneers team we played against. They had Freeman rattle all day long. The thumbs up to the defense for playing a really good game. 4 turnovers, 4 interceptions. One was more like a takeaway interception. He just took it out of dude's hand in the red zone on top of that. So very good defense, very good running game with the offense. Jay Cutler didn't look all that great, never really got into a rhythm, but he didn't lose the game for us. I mean, we did have a scare there at the end due to Jay Cutler wanting to be bad Jay for a play, but the defense was still able to hold on, win that game. So
definitely good win by Chicago. And hey, if the playoffs started today, I don't know if you saw the article in NFL.com. If the playoffs started today, Chicago would be 6th seed. Let's go. Yes, there will be 3 teams from the NFC North in the playoffs. I'm loving it.
The problem is you don't have everyone at 7 games. So, you know, I'd take more stock into that if there wasn't bye weeks and people still a game behind. So
I'm just saying, if the playoffs started today, I understand.
Let's at least get everybody's bye week out, and then that if the playoffs started today thing would hold a little bit more weight. But I understand your excitement, and it was a good win. It was a good win for Chicago. You know, a conference game and an important game. And, you know, I mean, you know, that's why I said, you know, I know we didn't talk about the Steelers win because, you know, it really didn't. They played Arizona, and we kind of – although I think me and Train thought that Pittsburgh, that would be one game where Pittsburgh might struggle. And, you know, I didn't watch the game, but Pittsburgh won a game that they should win. And the Bears won, the Cowboys won. So we had, you know, a week where all three of our teams actually won. I think that's – yeah, that's a trifecta, man. I don't. We should like think about what to do when that happens.
Yeah, lost the game. I want you to know we did dominate that game from start to finish.
Really? Okay. All right. So, what do you guys think about the whole Matt Forte, second best back in the league, conversations that I've been hearing? You know, AP is pretty much the consensus back. Chris Johnson's been a no-show. You know, is it Matt Forte? I mean, I haven't even looked at the rushing yards to see who's the number two rushing, because that's usually one barometer is who's got the second highest rushing yards. But what do you guys think about that?
You want to start us off, Train, since you're the Mr. Bear?
I can definitely do that, and it's more of my answer is pretty simple. Matt Forte has an all-around game. Whether you're handing him off the ball, whether you're passing it to him, he has an all-around game. Dude lines up in the backfield, moves in motion, out as a wide receiver, and is the primary target on the play on top of that. So, you know, when you have a running back that versatile, man, that creates a lot of mismatches for you on offense.
So we've got Maurice Jones-Drew second. Here's the top five. AP at 712. Jones-Drew at 677, Matt Forte at 672, Michael Turner at 621, Daryl McFadden at 614. You know, be honest, for my money, I'd probably have to put McFadden ahead of Forte. But I think at this point he'd be the only one. Turner is definitely in that conversation. But I think McFadden is also another all-around back. He can come out of the backfield and make some catches too. And, you know, it's not a clear cut. You know what I mean? Forte has really grown into an elite back. And so it's definitely not you ask the question and you say, are you kidding me? Like, seriously? You know, you actually have to take it seriously because he really has grown into a, you know, into a very solid back for the Bears. So, even though McFadden missed the last game, most of it, I mean, if the guy had played, he'd be pretty much up there with AP for total yards, for rushing yards at least. So, but anyway, you were going to say, Train, I know you're going to defend your boy.
No, I was just going to say, if you're going to consider yards, I think you got to consider total yards. Because that's the type of running back Matt Forte is. He's not even in the game on third downs most of the time. You know what I mean? He's on the vision, then they have the third down back. Matt Forte is in there down 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
and
but
so
I'm going
to
tell you
why. If you compare him, you got to compare yards from
him. I'm going to tell you why I don't do that. Because you also can't include something like blitz pickup, which I think is very important. Unless you're watching the game and you see, is this guy in there on third down and is he picking up the blitz? You know what I mean? I think a receiver that catches passes is great. But why do most receivers catch passes? Because they're the check down, because the wide receivers and the tight ends are covered.
I don't think it's always that they're the check down. A lot of teams now go to the screen for their running backs because they need to get their running backs in space. They do it for Drew. They do it for Matt Tate. They do it for Chris Johnson.
Absolutely. You do the screen because it's a long extended handoff. And so it counts as a pass. But a screen pass is a guy's down, you know, he's 4 yards away from the quarterback, 4 or 5 yards away from the quarterback. So when I'm judging, you can also screen a wide receiver. You can screen a tight end. So when I'm just saying, for me, when I'm judging a running back, the first thing I want to see is a running back's number one job is rushing the football. Number one job. And a third down back that can come in there and catch 7 passes for 70 yards will never be considered the best running back in the NFL. But a running back that can go in there and run 22 times for 125 yards might be considered the best back in the NFL. So that's, for me and my measuring stick, I don't put a lot of stock into receptions because it's all based on scheme. And some teams don't need their running back to be, you know, a good receiver because they have enough weapons. I mean, look at the Patriots. How many catches does Ben Jarvis or Woodhead get? Not many, because they got this guy named Wes Welker, you know, because Tom Brady spreads that ball around. So it's just saying how I judge it. So that's why I when I'm looking at a running back, I'm old school. I'm Emmitt Smith. I'm, you know, what's the guy? Your Steeler super Hall of Famer there, 32. Franco Harris. You know, I'm Emmitt Smith, Franco Harris, you know, Thurman Thomas, Walter Payton. You know, I want to see, you know, 16,000 yards from rushing. Maybe another 5,000 receiving, and that's great. But rushing, that to me is that's the lost art of this game, man. These guys.
All right, I gotta get in right now. I've been talking too long. All right, Adrian Peterson. Okay, let's not. First of all, Adrian Peterson the past couple of years has been a third down back. Ever since they got Rochester Taylor, they've had Adrian Peterson be the third down back and be basically all around back with Toby Gerhart spelling him here and there. Second of all, Darren McFadden is still, for my money as well, the second best running back in football. Let's not forget he missed the whole game and he was leading the league in rushing beforehand. Darren McFadden does all the same things Matt Forte does. They line up every receiver from time to time. He's every down back. He's great at the backfield, and let's be honest, Matt Forte doesn't have the physical ability that McFadden does. Saying that, Matt Forte has incredible vision. He's like a mini – I don't want to discredit Matt Forte when I say this, but this is how good he was. He's a poor man's Marshall Faulk. He's very similar to Marshall's play style, just not, you know, Marshall, obviously. But he's very good. You know, he's definitely a top five back. I don't think you can really dispute that. But let's not forget one more name, Arian Foster. People last year thought maybe it was a fluke when he had 2,200 yards on the season. And this year, you know, he hurt himself. He hurt his hammy, so it came out slow. But I saw him dominate my Steelers firsthand. You saw how he single-handedly pretty much punched Tennessee in the mouth. I still think he's a little bit better than Matt Forte. And he had over 100 yards receiving as well, and he can run the football, and he's a focal point of that offense right now especially. So Matt Forte definitely, without a doubt, top five. Can't say he's number two. And maybe not even top three because I still have Arian Foster ahead of him.
You know, the one problem I have with Arian Foster, though, he had a great year last year, and I know he's been hurt this year, but Ben Tate comes in out of nowhere and runs just as good as Arian Foster. So now you got to ask yourself.
Good. Not just as good. Good, but not just as good.
Okay. Better. 5.1 yards a carry versus 4.1 yards a carry. Better if you really want to get down to it. So what I'm saying is it the scheme? Because, and I'm not taking away from what he did last year. He had a came out of nowhere last year, and a phenomenal year he did. And I know he's had a hamstring issue this year, so he hasn't been 100%. But when I see a backup come in and run better, I gotta ask the question, particularly since he only, you know, is only second or third year, I got to start to wonder how much is it the guy and how much is it, you know, you remember Denver, you remember the Broncos teams of the 90s?
Oh, man.
You know,
Denver's just,
do you remember,
man.
Shanahan coached Broncos team and Terrell Davis and Olandis Gary, and I mean, it didn't matter. Mike Anderson, you know what I'm saying? There's sometimes when you have a team and a scheme, and you find a certain type of back, and you put them back there, and they produce. And
isn't Gary
Kubiak
from there too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm not ready to put Arian Foster. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I am not ready to put Arian Foster up with Adrian Peterson, Darren McFadden, and now Matt Forte just yet. I need to see a little bit more. Matt Forte's been doing this now. What's this, his third year train?
Yes. This is his fourth season.
Okay. So now we're at the point where, you know, we're getting some longevity out of him. We're getting some longevity out of McFadden.
He wasn't consistently this good, though. Last year, Forte was good, but his second year was a total bust. His first year was great. So let's not just act like he's been a consistent animal.
I wouldn't say his second year was a total bust. He struggled with injuries his second year, and the offense wasn't all that great. And that was Mike Martz. That was Ron Turner's second year, Jay Cutler's first year at starting quarterback. He struggled with injuries that second year, so it wasn't necessarily that he was a bust, but we couldn't run block to save our lives that year. You know, so it wasn't just all Matt Forte. Plus, it wasn't.
I'm just saying the whole production between him and Arian Foster so far. When you put in Arian's production and you take Matt Forte's whole body of work. I mean, Arian, to this point, obviously he's played less games, so there's a fewer, you know, size sample. But Arian's production far outweighs, you know, Forte's when you add it all up. I mean, again, the sample's a lot smaller. I understand that, but when you take the averages, you know, Arian Foster's been.
I think what you said is correct. The sample is smaller. So maybe this time next year I'll be where you're at with Arian Foster, but I'm not there with him just yet. Real quick, I won't, because we, you know, we're running out of time here, and we got to make our picks for next week. I wanted to just touch on the Redskins real quick, and you know, this is not a homer statement, but Redskins are in trouble, you know, and I, you know, hey, Cam Newton's the real deal. Don't get me wrong. By all accounts, the guy is exceeded everybody's expectations for a rookie quarterback. Redskins are in trouble. You know, it wasn't that long ago that they were number one in NFC East. And, you know, they are in real trouble. And, if you're a Redskins fan, be concerned with your team. We'll see what happens with Beck. We'll see, you know, after he gets a couple of games under his belt, what he's capable of. They made the right move in starting him, no doubt about it. They just lost Hightower. And for the season, and Santana Moss is out for at least 5-6 weeks. They're in trouble. You were going to say?
The Redskins are done. And I don't even think they hit 8-8. I just think they're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you said, I ain't mad at you. I think they're done too. I just, you know, especially when I heard about those injuries, I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. So let's look at next week's, and yes, we have to give props to K-Star. K-Star went undefeated last week, 4-0 in his picks. Train and I both went 2-2. I don't have it in front of me, but I know he was 3 out of 4 the first week, so he's 7 out of 8. And
what are we talking about, man? Because I saw the message.
Four games. Yeah. The four games. We're doing four picks. I picked four competitive games, and we pick. K-Star was 4-0. You and I were 2-2. I'll have the complete tally.
We're keeping tabs. Okay. All right.
We're keeping tabs, man. It just kind of rolled into it. It just kind of developed on its own. So I got four games.
Okay.
It was kind of hard to pick four, but I'm going to only do 4 weeks. So clearly the first game, I think, is probably going to be the best game of the weekend, is the Patriots going to Pittsburgh and playing the Steelers. And as if I need to ask K-Star who he thinks is going to win this game, I'm going to ask him anyway. K-Star, who do you think is going to win this game?
Well, after all the analysis I've done, all the thinking back and forth, you know, the pondering, I got to go with the Steelers here.
I'm shocked.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I can't really, you know, the Patriots own us. Brady 6-1 against us in his career. Pretty embarrassing stat, you know, but we are at home. We are playing very well, and honestly, this is a game we kind of, you know, a launching pad, if you will, a statement to the NFL, like, hey, we're still the kings of the AFC.
the Patriots haven't been in the Super Bowl as much as we have recently, and they haven't been doing as well as we have recently, but people won't keep talking about them. So let's see what they do in Pittsburgh. So I got to go with my boys here. Big Ben, let's see what's up.
Okay. Train?
SC, Pittsburgh had blowouts against Tennessee. They whooped up on Arizona. Yeah. Bring on the Patriots. Yeah, I'm going with New England.
All right. Easy one for me, Pats. Sorry, K-Star, but I don't know. Pats had a bye week, too. Pats had a bye week, too.
Woo.
Yeah. All right. But K-Star, you can get me back, man. Dallas going to Philadelphia. Philly has won their last week, coming off a bye week, hosting the Cowboys. K-Star, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Philly only because I feel like they're going to rebound. But I think Dallas presents a matchup nightmare for them, which kind of has me thinking about it. But I'm still going to go with Philly. I think Mike Vick gets it done. Unfortunately, he's going to have DeMarcus Ware and some other guys in his face all day, but they're going to find a way. I got to go with Philly. Michael Vick for the win.
Okay. Train?
As much as I would like for Philadelphia to win this game, you know, for some NFC help, Dallas creates numerous mismatches for them. So I'm gonna go with Dallas.
Well, all I'll say is Dallas, in a game that meant something to Philly and meant nothing to Dallas last year.
And I was thinking about that, too.
Dallas beat Philly. And Dallas has beat Philly, I can only go back 2 years in memory, 4 out of 5 games. And that includes 2 times in Philadelphia. So we play in Philly. We're not afraid to play in Philly, you know, nor are they afraid to play in Dallas. I think the Cowboys are coming off a great win. They played a complete game. And I think they're going to go on. This is a big game for Philly. It's a huge game for Dallas. Puts them at 4-3 with Seattle and Arizona and these kind of teams coming up. This can really set Dallas on a nice winning streak. I got to go with my Cowboys for all those reasons. I picked this game because it was very intriguing to me. Detroit lost 2 in a row, including most recently at home to Atlanta. 5-2 now, traveling to Denver to play the mystique of the guy who just wins, baby, Tim Tebow, at 2-4. Detroit at Denver. Tim Tebow with his first home start. Well, this year at least. K-Star?
All right. See a 2-4 team, and you see a 5-2 team, and you think it'd be easy. But the 2-4 teams really want to know with Tim Tebow at quarterback, and as you know, that team elevates their level of play, and they're at home. Matt Stafford is on the ropes, so I'm going to go with. I'm still going to Detroit. The only reason why I say that. The only reason why I say that though. We can't forget that Willis McGahee broke his hand. Norshawn Moreno sucks. I'm not afraid to say it. He's terrible. And that's going to hurt them on the ground. They really rely on Willis McGahee. So we'll see what Tim Tebow's made of. But I got to go with Detroit. They're just a better team. It's going to be a tough game, though.
Trey?
Hey, I understand them rally back. But they rallied back against Miami. And they waited till the last 3-4 minutes of the game to do it against a bad Miami team. You're going up against a competitive Detroit team. So I'm as mad as I would want Detroit to lose, I'm still going to pick Detroit.
Well, I would be a hypocrite if I picked Detroit now after saying that they're going to continue to slide. I do think they should be the favorite, and I do think that they should win this game. Something tells me that this guy going home is going to find a way. This team is slipping. They have chemistry problems, Detroit does. And I don't think this is the week that they figure it out. They will win more games, but I think Denver pulls off a huge win, and you're going to hate turning on your TV because all you're going to hear is Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow next week. I'm going with Denver. Last game.
I'm rooting for Denver to win. I'm rooting for Denver to win. I just want to state that, so I hope they do. But,
yeah. Well, see, and, you know, and I'm noticing a trend here. I'm the only one that will go out on a limb. You know, you guys are so conservative with your comments, and I go on limb. You know,
whoa.
I go out and I put it
whoa,
out there.
I man. Made my statement. I don't know
if
being conservative.
The Redskins, big deal. The Redskins.
Hey, man, I picked Philly. You got to pick Dallas. That was easy, even despite the matchup issues. All right.
Yeah, you did pick Philly, but I figured you picked Philly because I picked the Pats.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't like how you just Jim Harbaugh my Steelers away like that either. You just went to shake my hand, just pushed us away with my Steelers jacket
sure
on.
Did, I sure
no,
did.
I don't appreciate that at all.
Is this a Jim Harbaugh now?
Yeah, he's Jim Harbaugh
sure
on me, bro. I have my Steelers still on either.
Wow.
He put the Pats on my back and just threw me down. Just pushed me aside.
Hey, you know what? I sure did.
But you told me no. You can't say no.
I sure did. All right. Last game for our picks. And again, there were some good games to choose from, but I'm intrigued now by the San Diego-Kansas City game. San Diego lost a big game that they should have won in New York. We saw Phillip Rivers, and pretty much Phillip Rivers has not quite been Phillip Rivers this year. Maybe he's hurt. I don't know, but and Kansas City, you know, I mean, you got to give Kansas City a lot of credit, man. I mean, forget Oakland's problems. The defense is still their defense, and Kansas City shut them out 28-0. So, and Kansas City's 3-3 now. So, San Diego, Kansas City, you know, division game. Yeah, you know, let me ask Train. Let me start with Train on this one, man. You know,
I needed Sam to look something up. Man. Oh, shucks.
I sent you this hours ago, man. You could have did this hours ago. Yeah, you're going to give me your answer. Who's your pick?
Man, San Diego at Kansas City. Wow, like I said, San Diego was good on paper. You know, already accused me of taking the safer pick, but that doesn't mean I'm going to jump out there and just take who you think I'm going to take. With that said, though, Kansas City still hasn't – I mean, I only seen them have one good offensive game. I haven't seen enough from them offensively to be like – to feel like they can carry a game, even from their special teams. Even though San Diego struggles with special teams, I still haven't seen enough from Kansas City, man. With that said, I have to go with San Diego.
Okay. K-Star?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas City here. I don't believe in San Diego. They're going to Kansas City. That's a very loud stadium playing. The Chargers have some woes. Ryan Matthews is a bit banged up like usual, but, you know, Dwayne Bowe is a man-child, and that defense, Kansas City, they played well last week, and they've been playing well. Three-game win streak, I think they make it four. And to make the AFC West a little bit interesting, so I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Okay. Well, you know, I got to go with San Diego on this one. I really think that I think they're going to rebound. And, you know, they're 2-0 in their division. I think they're going to go to 3-0. And, you know, we have not seen San Diego under North Turner win so early and often. They usually make late runs to try to get into the playoffs. So I think they rebound against the Jets, and I think they win this game. All right. And quickly, you know, another thing I thought was pretty fun last week was looking at the lopsided games for next week. And there are three lopsided games in my estimation. And all of these are against teams that have not won a game. You have New Orleans going to St. Louis. New Orleans 5-2. The Rams are 0-6. You have Miami at 0-6, traveling to New York to play the Giants. And then you have Indianapolis at 0-7, traveling to Tennessee. So, guys, start with Train. Of these three games, what game do you think might yield an upset?
Between New Orleans, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and
Miami and the Giants.
Miami and the Giants. Ooh. Let's see. I'm going to say Indianapolis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. Indianapolis, Tennessee.
Right.
I think Indianapolis can actually pull off an upset.
All right. K-Star?
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be Indianapolis, Tennessee. Division rivalry, that's why. Tennessee can't run the ball. The strength of the Colts is the pass rush. Maybe they finally get it done. I'm not really sold on that happening, but that is definitely the best chance. There's no way Miami goes into New York and beats the Giants unless they just play the absolute worst game of all time, which I guess is possible, but definitely do not see that happening. Same with New Orleans, St. Louis. New Orleans is just way too talented for St. Louis to even handle.
I think all three of the 0-0-0-4 teams are terrible. All of them terrible. That said, Miami did have a chance to win. They did manage to get 15 points and be up 15-0 with 5 minutes to go. I would have said Indianapolis before watching Drew Brees just completely dissect them and carve them up like they were a, you know, high school football team. And I think that Indianapolis is just they're done. I mean, we already knew they were done, but I think now their pride is done. That's just a bad whooping. And the Rams just got rushed on for almost 300 yards. I think, you know, I don't think any of the 0-4 teams are going to win, but if there's going to be an upset, you know, we've seen the Giants play up and down. They're coming off a bye week. They might be kind of comfortable. They're at home. They got a team coming in. This is a classic Bill Parcells trap game. Coming off a bye, you're at home, you got a team that just lost a heartbreaker, that hasn't won a game, you got everything that says you should blow this team out, and so something's telling me this game's going to be pretty close, and who knows, maybe Miami gets an upset, which wouldn't upset me at all.
Are you sure you're not picking that game because it's a division?
No, not at all. That's why I explained why I didn't just pick
him.
I don't
know. K-Star, does it sound like that to you? Does it sound like he's picking it just because it's the Giants?
I mean, told you why. Indianapolis.
Everything eventually comes back to the Cowboys. So,
it's got nothing to do with the Cowboys. Indianapolis just got destroyed. Indianapolis just gave up 62 points. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to come back in Tennessee and be competitive. Okay.
Well, the only
Miami,
thing to really say to that is they can't play much worse. So they have to play better. So that's one way of looking at it.
Well, you
got
to have some inspiration to play better, though. And what's your inspiration after giving up 62 points? And now you got to, after that game, now you got to travel to Tennessee? I don't see it. St. Louis just gave up 300 yards rushing. Now they are at home, but they're playing the Saints. Need I say more? So
St.
That
Louis
leaves
almost
you with
beat
my,
the Saints last season.
Okay, but this ain't last season. This ain't last
season. Well, you
season.
Brought up last season when you talked about Philadelphia and Dallas beating Philadelphia. So, I mean, can we not use it here?
Oh, of course we can use it here. Absolutely. Absolutely. Except I was talking about a division game and two teams that see each other a lot. So this is not a division game. All I'm saying to you, I told you this is going to happen on the phone when I talked to you, Train. I made predictions, and then you guys want to call me a homer. I gave you some concrete reasons why, if there's going to be an upset, I would say Miami is the team that has the biggest chance simply because the Giants have every reason to blow this team out, and I call this a trap game. So that's why I said it. Okay, we are running out of time, so let me say thank you to Train. Thank you to K-Star. Next week we're going to debate. We didn't get a chance to do it this week. We're going to debate who we think is the best at each skilled position on offense, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Next week we're going to talk about the refs and some of the changes in the rules and is it actually helping the game. And next week we're going to introduce a new segment where each of us have the option of getting on our soapbox. I am going to get on my soapbox next week, and I'm going to talk about fans you fans out there, you guys who support your teams, I got something to say to you, but that's coming next week. Any last words, K-Star?
No, man, just looking forward for Pittsburgh to beat the Patriots, bro. I'm going to come back at you on Tuesday.
All right.
I'm going for you, team.
All right. All right. I'll be waiting. All right, K-Star, have a good night. Train, any last words?
Real quickly, and I hope her family does not mind me doing this, but October 22nd has been officially dedicated by the mayor, dedicated by the mayor of Cincinnati as Erica Holloman Day.
Oh, man, that's great, man.
Yes.
That's great.
So in memory of Erica Holloman.
All right, man. All right, man. I couldn't think of a better way to end the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Madden Voice. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned to the website for the time. We're planning on 9, but we could go back to 8 o'clock. We're still working on that. Enjoy the games this weekend. And remember, EAFLMadden.com. If you played Madden, tell all your friends. Join the EAFL because, hey, in the EAFL, all feuds are settled on the field. Everybody have good night, and we'll see you next week.